Good morning, everybody. morning. For those who don't know, my name is Anton. My lovely wife, Fimke, and my children are hanging around here somewhere. Can I just say what a beautiful morning this was, just to confess, together with all of you, the glory of our King. And just this public display of honoring God and saying, you're our Lord. You are beautiful. We can honor you. Just you deserve, command the highest praise. You are holy. It's just uplifting when we do it together and just say, you're Lord. And we hear each other and our faith is built. It's absolutely beautiful. I also need to just put my kids at ease. My dear daughter showed me a little meme the other day. And she says, as a pastor's kids, she's got the right to remain silent. Because anything she says or does can be used against her in a sermon. So far, I don't think I've got any illustrations, so you guys can rest at ease, all right. This morning, I want to talk to you about the word confession. We've just all done it in worship this morning. We confessed that Jesus is Lord. But I also realized that for some of us, that word confession has a negative connotation. There's something in us that goes, oops, I don't like that. So let me give you the statement. I think confession is awesome. I think when we look at it from a biblical point of view, instead of the world's point of view, we will celebrate confession. We will walk in confession. We will become part of our normal lifestyles, and it will be a joy. It will be a source of health. It will be a source of truth. It will be a source of strength. So now you know what my statement is. But now I need to defend my statement and get you onto the same page. So that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to look at the word confession, and at the end of it, we'll be excited by it. Just as the Lord is excited by the word confession. All right, are you with me? You're in for the journey? Up for the challenge? Then let's go there. All right. The word, the confession. If you look at the world's perspective, we go to Webster or to Oxford Dictionary, what do you get? You get things like standing in front of the court and I'm confessing to my wrongdoings. Or the child having to confess to breaking the window. There's a statement of shame. There's a statement of guilt. There is an expectation of consequences for the wrong that I've done. And it is a public statement. It has to be in the court of law. It has to be in some public forum that I'm confessing with what they're accusing me of. You can imagine that little boy and the father says, confess, I know you did it, confess. There is just that whole sense of awkwardness and no one wants to be in that box. All right. However, when we look at the word from a scriptural point of view, it's completely different. Jesus says, confess who I am. That's a positive thing. When I looked at the word confess, it's more often used in context of who we say Jesus is than who the devil says we are. All right. It's about confessing Christ. It's confessing his glory. It's confessing him in relation to us. And what is beautiful about the word, it's the analogy they have there is it's an agreement with, it's an acknowledgement of. And who are we agreeing with? Who are we acknowledging? We're acknowledging what Jesus is revealing to us, what the Holy Spirit and what the Father is agreeing with us. So we can agree and acknowledge and accept what the Spirit is showing us, and that's a glorious thing, to confess and be in agreement with. And then, yes, it is a public statement. It's not me and myself and I in the room by ourselves confessing. That's not a confessing. That's just acknowledging the truth. Confessing is an outward experience of what is happening on the inward. All right. And why do we want to make this big distinction? Let's have a look at Romans 8, verse 6. Set the mind on the flesh. To set the mind on the flesh is death. But to set the mind on the Spirit of is life and peace. So we want to walk in the way of the Spirit. We do not want to walk in the way of the flesh. All right. So that's why we're going to reclaim this word for our spiritual health and ignore the way the world thinks of it. All right. So let's jump to Romans 10, 8 to 13. But what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's the basics of our confession. We confess Christ to be Lord. Did you see the word there? Will not be ashamed. The world wants to make you ashamed of your confession. The God says, no, you will not be made ashamed of your confession. It is a public statement. It comes with reward. It comes with healing. It comes with an invitation to his kingdom. Okay. So we want to make the public confession, and we want to accept that Jesus is Lord. And we confess it with our mouths, because it's what's happening in our hearts. It's the truth that has been revealed in our hearts. We can now share with others. Yeah. How do we make this confession? One of the first places you see this is where Jesus asks his disciples, who do you say I am? Who do the people say I am? And they give all sorts of explanations of Elijah or one of the prophets. And then Jesus asks them, but who do you say I am? And Peter stands up and says, you're the Messiah, the Son of the Christ. And Jesus answers him and says, blessed are you, Peter, for you this was not revealed to you by man, but was revealed to you by my Father. And there you see the context. It is an agreement with someone else. It is agreement with the Father on who Christ is. It's not our own truths. It's not a revelation of ourselves. It is something the Holy Spirit reveals to us. And then our response is to agree with it, and our response is to proclaim it. That is our confession. And then the question is, to whom do I confess? To who do I proclaim my inward heart and my inward conviction? Well, it's before men. It is not something we do in our own spaces. Let's have a look at Matthew 10:32-33. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. Just to pause there. That word acknowledge, it's the same word as confess. There's no difference in the word. It's just an acknowledgement of. All right, so as we acknowledge him before men, God, Jesus, will acknowledge him before the Father, us before the Father. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. All right, let's just leave that there for a moment. So that's the challenge. We need to acknowledge Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, before men. What's interesting about the location of this verse is where it comes, what comes before it. Just before that, Jesus sent out the disciples to go preach the gospel, to proclaim the good news. And he gave them warnings. He said, people will reject you. He said, people will drag you before leaders, before synagogue rulers, and flog you. There will be persecution for proclaiming the name of Jesus. And now this is, again, the upside-down kingdom we live in. In our world we live in, if you acknowledge who the leaders are, there's no consequence for that. In the kingdom, when you acknowledge who the real leaders are, there's consequences for that. And we've all experienced those consequences in one way or another. It could be in a job situation where you can just see you're ostracized for your beliefs. You're put aside because they know, he's not going to lie for me. He's not going to cook the books for me because he's a Christian. So you put aside. It could be in your family context where some of you are saying, because of the church you go to or your belief on baptism, the rest of the family will ostracize you or think negatively of you. All because you've acknowledged who Jesus is. You've acknowledged and agreed with what the Holy Spirit has said to you. But Jesus here is encouraging us. If you are willing to stand up for what you believe before men, he will stand up for you before God. Now, we all want that. That is a glorious thing, and that gives us the encouragement to move forward and say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. in all that we do. I can also just acknowledge the grace we have here. As much as we all desire to acknowledge God in all our circumstances, the disciples failed at that point as well. When at the critical moment when Jesus was being persecuted, they all fell away. Not one remained. So every single disciple fell away from Jesus and said, I don't know who he is. So there's grace for us. Yes, we are called to acknowledge God before all men. But we might slip up. We might make a mistake. And that's okay. All right. It's how we deal with it when Jesus reveals himself again. And we seek our forgiveness and we say, next time it's better. Because it's a journey. It's not a moment. It's a journey. All right. So there's always grace. In Jesus, there is always grace. So we do not condemn ourselves. We do not put ourselves under a burden that Christ never did. Confession is a beautiful thing. We do not accept the enemy's words on it. Then we need to take confession to a personal space. All right, I've just told you that confession is an agreement with. It's acknowledgement of, and it's a public statement. And we can acknowledge who Jesus is. But now, who of you thinks that if we ask Christ to reveal himself to us, or ask the Holy Spirit to show us more of who Christ is, can't we expect that we'll also see more of who we're not? All right, that's going to be a natural consequence. As God's picture in our minds gets enlarged, we will also see that we are not God. And with that, we will also see where we fall short. Where in some areas we are not reflecting Jesus the way we could. But that all becomes because it is in comparison with the glory of God. It is the Holy Spirit revealing who Jesus is, will at the same time reveal who we're not. And yes, you might want to call that sin. Yes, you might want to call it missing the mark. Yes, you want to call it all of that. But at the same time, it's also a testimony to who Jesus is. And to his glory. That, hey, in this area of my life, I'm not reflecting Jesus as well as I could. Which means you also know what Jesus looks like in that area of your life. You can see what his glory is supposed to look like. The Holy Spirit has revealed more of who he is. And that will be true for every saint in every part of the journey. Makes no difference if you're a day one saint or a 50-year-old Christian. If you are maturing in Christ, you'll have more revelation of who he is, and that by itself will reveal more of areas where you want to grow and learn and change and acknowledge you want to add Christ into that area of your life. It's a positive thing. We're growing. We're maturing. So let's look at 1 John 1, 5 to 10. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him no darkness at all. So that's the gospel. We know God is light. All right. There's no darkness in him at all. As Christ is revealed more and more to us through the power of the Holy Spirit, we will see more of that light. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So if any one of us thinks there's no darkness in us, the scripture says, we lie. So we can expect each and every one of us to say, there's darkness in us. You are no different to the person next to you. There's another lie of the enemy. You are the only one sinning. You are the only one struggling in this area. You are the only one that's not reflecting Christ well. We all have some darkness in us. We all have areas that we don't reflect in Christ very well. Let's move on. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Isn't that the beautiful statement? Isn't that what we desire? To be cleansed of all our sin. To have fellowship with one another. And I personally believe that word fellowship is there one another, brothers and sisters in the church, but also between us and Christ. that him can also be with God and us, because we have walked in the light. But it requires us to walk in the light. It's an active statement. It's not just a confession in the morning by myself, which is very vital, but it is a walking in the light. It is putting yourself, your posture, your body, your being in the light to walk there. And the last bit. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and the world is not in us, and the word is not in us. All right, so there's the encouragement again. All of us have sinned. None of us is going to call Jesus a liar. So we're all just going to acknowledge, I've sinned. And that's exactly the same point in which each one of us started our journey with Christ. We all started with, I've sinned. I confess. You are Lord, I'm not. Can I receive your forgiveness over my life? That's the same door each one of us have walked through. And that's the same door we all continue to walk in. Right. All right. So again, I want to see this as an invitation of unity. That word fellowship for me was a very important word. Because most of the world, when you confess, you get consequences. What's the consequence of confessing in the kingdom? We get our sins forgiven and we get cleansed of all unrighteousness. It's the opposite again. The world will have you walk out the consequences. There will be punishment. But in the kingdom, there is righteousness, there's holiness, there's forgiveness. Okay. The other comment I do want to make, we are called to walk in the light. We are not called to step into it. All right. We might want to take the shortcut and just say, yes, I confess. And then that's it. Confession is the start of the journey. It's not the end of it. All right. So now when we confess, it's acknowledgement of who God is, who we're not. And it also says, now I want to change. I want to become more Christ-like by walking in the light, by walking it out. In some areas in your life, God will do that in an instant. And from that moment, you are a completely different person in that area. In other areas of your life, it might be a process that takes weeks or months or years. But it's the journey, it's the walking, it's the continuation of that we're all striving towards. No one expects us to be like Christ tomorrow. All of us can be expected to continue to walk in the light and to follow him in all our ways. Now, let me show you what it means to confess our sins. What does it look like? Let's have 2 Corinthians 7, 10 to 12. For godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret, whereas worldly grief produces death. All right, so when we see what the Holy Spirit is doing, but to see what the Holy Spirit is revealing, we should expect no regret, because that's the world. The world's going to kill us, not God. For we see what earnestness this godly grief has produced in you, but also what eagerness to clear yourselves, what indignation, what fear, what longing, what zeal, what punishment. At every point, you have proved yourself innocent in this matter. What's my takeaway from this verse? When the Holy Spirit convicts you of something and you confess of it, there'll be positive fruits. When an enemy condemns you of something, there'll be death. All right. When the Holy Spirit convicts you of something, there'll be a journey forward that leads to all the things that you actually want. You will take ownership of it and saying, I want to move forward in this. When the devil condemns you of something, your response is going to be to hide it, to feel it ashamed, to put it under the rug, to ignore it, and hope no one finds out. we don't agree with the devil. We do acknowledge the Holy Spirit. We agree with the Holy Spirit. And in that agreement, we confess and move forward and reap the rewards of what God's offering. The best example I can think of this is my wife and I, before we got married, we went a car trip. I can't even remember the setting anymore. But we did what we call, in hindsight, a life confession. At this point in time, we were engaged, and we took the time to reveal our deepest, darkest secrets to one another. There was embarrassment, there was shame. It was a journey for us. We didn't really do it with the Holy Spirit at the time. But what we got from that was that my dear wife knows my biggest secrets, the things I do not want to reveal to anybody else. And she still loves me. The other thing I also know is no one can come to her and say, do you know what your husband did? Do you know what he was like in the past? Her response, yes, I do. Okay, and I probably know more than you. All right. So she knows me. No one can come and accuse me with her. And I can say the same for her. And in that moment, there was never, ever going to be a situation where I meet someone in the street and going, but they know, and my wife doesn't. There's never going to be that awkward moment where I'm now concerned of what might be revealed or what might come out. And the result and the fruit of that was intimacy. It was a drawing together. It was fellowship. It was beautiful. It was one of those moments in my life that I cherish and I thank God for. But it came through the door of confession. A word that the world rejects. But I want that word for us to celebrate it and to embrace it and going, bring it on. Let's move forward in this world confession. So some of the benefits we get from confessing, the fruit we can get from confessing. We say no to isolation. Think of it this way. As soon as you go to confess something, you're at a crossroads. You can choose to confess, which will lead you to the right, or you can choose not to confess, lead you to the left. You're going to make a choice at that moment in time. And that choice leaves you in two different directions. If I choose to confess, I say no to isolation. Because when we keep things secret, we isolate ourselves. We might have to even start developing lies around it or patterns around it to keep it hidden. And the easiest way to do that, isolate yourself. Close yourself off from others. Not to walk in the light, but stay in the darkness where no one will see you, where nothing will get exposed. The other thing we say we don't get when we don't confess is we say unforgiveness. Forgiveness comes through confession. You can't be forgiven for something that's not in the light. It doesn't work that way. It only comes after confession. The other thing that you let go of is pridefulness. It takes humility to confess. But all we're actually stating is, he's God, I'm not. I don't think that's going to take a lot of humility. If we all just acknowledge that he's God and I'm not, we're in a good place. But the pridefulness is how we compare ourselves to men and to women around us. We want to, in some form or fashion, be perceived better than we are. And humility is just acknowledging who we are. And the truth of the matter is, in Christ, we're glorious. That's the truth. And the other part that we're saying no to when we confess something is denial. Denial says it didn't happen. You didn't see that way. Or that's not what really happened. Acknowledgement is just, again, agreeing with the Holy Spirit, saying this is the truth. And from there, the truth will set you free. What do we gain? My experience, we gain healing. In sharing our journey with others, there's healing. The scriptures speak frequently about there will be healing in our confessions. He is faithful to heal us. And that healing often comes through people. Having confessed something and then receiving that loving embrace afterwards. There's healing in that. There's restoration. When you confess something that might have influenced your relationship with somebody, that relationship can be restored. There's healing in that. The other thing we can receive is freedom. Our lack of confession puts us in a jail. We lock ourselves up, and we are now trapped by our own past. But in confessing, we are now set free. We can walk in the light. Walking in the darkness is dangerous. We trip and fall and get hurt. Walking in light, there's freedom. There's joy. There's excitement. And the other beautiful thing is we get support. Some of those areas, you need support. We are not called to do this journey alone. We are called into family. Now, I think that was also the crux of Morne's preach last week. As much of all the things we need, how do we get it? We get it in family. We don't get it in little hospitals or medical aids or anything else. We get it in family. And family comes through sharing our lives with one another, sharing our ups, sharing our downs. And in confession, we get support. And the other thing we get, which I think is glorious, the accuser loses his power. I've seen it too many times where we can ask the Lord for forgiveness and receive it, and then the accuser comes, but did you really say sorry? Are you really forgiven? But when we do it publicly, when we do it with others, there are witnesses to that moment. And the accuser knows he can't attack that. If he tries, you're going, yes, Thumka knows. Yes, my comm leader knows. Yes, the elder knows. I have received my forgiveness. The accuser has no leg to stand on. There's another side of the confession, is when someone confesses things to you. Can I have James 5:16 on the board? Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous person has great power as it is working. We have great power as we pray for one another. There's glory in sharing your confession with one another. But if you are confessing something to me, I am to pray for you. I am to walk with you. I am to honor the fact that you're doing it. When you are hearing someone's confession, you must see it as an invitation to firstly glorify God. Because what are they doing? They're acknowledging who Christ is. They're acknowledging his glory, and you can celebrate that together. The other thing you are hearing is an invitation to journey together, to pray for one another, to receive healing together. It's an invitation for intimacy. It's an invitation for fellowship. It's never going to be an invitation for shame or dishonor or rejection. All right. So when someone is going to confess something to you, it's a glorious moment. And you can invite those confessions into your life because they have deemed you honorable. They have deemed you trustworthy. They have deemed you someone that they want to walk with and share the journey with. Unfortunately, some people are going to do this slightly wrong. They are going to confess things to you and now burden you with that confession. All right. I did X, Y, Z, but you can't tell anybody. So now they get all the benefits of I've let somebody else know. They're not going to walk in their confession, walk in the light, and now you burden with confession. I'm sorry, but that's not the way it works. I'm not going to carry somebody else's load that they're not willing to carry. A confession has to be a an invitation to walk things out. Otherwise, someone was just gossiping or blabbermouthing or creating a burden for you. Don't accept that as a confession. Do not be burdened by someone else's confession. I will say it now up front. If I need to share something, I will first start with my wife. If you confess something to me, I need my helper. I need my wife. If I need it, I will share it with her. We are one. If I need to take it further because I can't deal with it, I will let you know. And I'll invite you on that journey of you either sharing with somebody else or you coming with me to share with somebody else. But I'm not going to carry it alone. We are a family. We are a fellowship. We are walking this journey together. All right. So we are not going to carry each other's burdens. We can, however, walk in the light together. And we can support each other and encourage each other and motivate each other in walking in the light. But I'm not going to carry your cross. I'll help you carry yours, though. All right. Okay. So what have I actually hoped that you saw this morning? I'm hoping that you're seeing that confession is a start of a beautiful journey. That the word confession, as the Bible uses it, is glorious. I will challenge you to find any scripture in the Bible where the fruits of confession are negative, where confession is not celebrated, rewarded, encouraged, glorified, celebrated. Isn't that what we do when someone accepts Lord for the first time? We celebrate and are encouraged by that moment. Our own faith gets built up in that moment. When we see somebody else stand up on stage and confess something, we can see the Spirit move powerfully in that moment. And what do we see? We don't see the sin. We see a transformed life. That's a miracle. That's something we celebrate. And just like that, when I confess the Lord to me, my King and my Savior, we celebrate together. And we can all join in that confession. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But He is faithful to save. And none of us are any different. So let's celebrate confession. Let's walk in confession. Let's have a lifestyle of confession. And we can expect from that journey all the fruits of a healthy church, of a healthy person, of a healthy family life, of fellowship, of intimacy. I'm excited for that idea. I'm excited for that journey together. But it starts with you making that choice about what you think about confession. I know some of you might not have thought of confession like that before. I know some of you might have seen only condemnation, might have only seen broken relationships, and only seen consequences. And I especially know for some of you who have never accepted the Lord as your King and Savior, you do not know the beauty of confessing Him to be the King. You do not know the glory of accepting Him in your life and receiving His grace, His forgiveness, His love, His joy, His peace. So I want to invite you now into that relationship. I want to invite you now to take that first step that we all did in confessing our glorious Lord, to be your King, to be your Savior. To acknowledge that He is God and you are not. Will that mean that you will have some changes in your life? I hope so. I want more changes in my own life. Will that mean there will be consequences in your friends and family? Possibly. But the reward is glorious as we invite one another into fellowship and join you into fellowship. So if you are sensing at this moment in time the Holy Spirit speaking to you, and you want to take that first step of agreeing with the Holy Spirit that the Lord is King, would you raise your hand with me so I can pray with you? So that I can agree with you and can confirm your own confession as the Holy Spirit is ministering to you and speaking to you right now.